Hey, everybody. Welcome to another episode of Autastic.
Woo!
Excited. You seem excited. I'm Graham K.
I'm Kirk Smith.
Yeah. I have an autistic brother, and Kirk has an autistic teenage son.
That's right.
Both on different levels of the spectrum. Kirk's more autistic than my brother. My brother is, who knows what he is, but he's a little
Kirk's
higher.
Kirk's son is more autistic than your brother. That's true.
Yes. Yep.
I might be as well, but right now we're focused on
I might
my
be
son.
Too, but never mind. So we have I like this episode a lot. It's really cohesive.
I think
which
it's
I like.
Great. Yeah.
It's like a nice, tight Seinfeld episode. Everything flows in and out.
A little chunk.
Yeah, I'm excited. We like to start off with the week in review. Kirk, why don't you tell us about your week?
My week, I had Easter dinner with my daughter's boyfriend's family and my daughter's boyfriend. So I've been, this is more about being a parent. So, which oddly enough is similar for, you know, no matter what, kids on the spectrum or not.
Right.
And I've been holding off a little bit about meeting her. I've met her boyfriend a few times. And
your daughter is not on the spectrum. She's
no, just
neuronormative.
Neuronormative, yeah. And I've been holding off a little bit neurotypical.
Neurotypical?
Neurotypical, I think, right? Did I
say heteronormative, right? Neurotypical. She's both of those things.
There you go. Anyway. So I was holding off on meeting them just because, you know, I'm busy and I don't know if it's serious. But now they've been seeing each other like a year. So I'm like, all right, I need to.
Who is this guy?
Who is this kid?
Yeah.
And something instinctual kicks in when someone's dating your daughter where you're like, we had a really good talk about kind of like what it means to be a man and that talent is going to get trumped by hard work. Hard work's always going to beat talent. And so you need to, as a young man, he's 19, put the work in to do something. I was telling him, you know, you don't have to do what I do, but you need to do something. You need to find, you know, either school full time or work full time. And yeah, it's hard to find a job, but you got to push yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And we had like it was a really good talk. And it just made me think about like, you know, sometimes you think that raising a autistic kid is hard, and it is hard, super hard. But they have different challenges, you know, like, so my son's not really dating, and we talk about dating a little later in this podcast. But this episode, with my daughter dating, it brings up things that you just don't think about, but that have to be addressed.
Yeah. So how does this tie in to our topic, Kirk?
Well, our topic today is being independent. So we wanted to interview Josh Merowitz, who was on episode 10. He's an autistic comic, a comic with autism, and your brother, and talk to them about...
Who's a guy with autism.
Who's a guy with autism. They're both the same age, interesting enough.
Yeah, my brother makes French fries.
There you go.
And clean. Yeah.
He has like four jobs. He's all working. I love it. I really like that about your brother. He really works.
He's got great work ethic.
I asked Josh about that a little bit. Wanted to hear what he thought about that, and we'll get to that. We can talk about that later. But basically, I wanted to talk about... this episode is about being independent. So I had a very interesting discussion with my daughter's boyfriend and about being independent. And that was my week. That was my week in review. How about your week? What'd you do this week?
My week in review. Nothing to report.
All right, great. You know,
that's a good week in review, Kirk. Solid week in review.
We always do week in review. We don't have to have something every week. It's fine.
No.
Should we do the news?
Let's do in the news.
Someday we're going to stop doing that. This is from the Chicago Tribune. The title is called Raising a Tween with Autism. And I thought it was an interesting article about this is a mom of a 12-year-old girl who's on the spectrum. She's verbal. She can read and write and is starting to progress in many areas. Also has many challenges. So she talks about her daughter wanting friendships and how it can be challenging. She's seen her daughter struggle for years and that this year she's just starting to establish friendships, and it's a very sweet article that talks about, you know, raising a kid with autism and what that means.
There's it starts getting tricky. Tween is when it's obviously very hard to have a child with autism at any age, but there's a childlike quality to higher forms of higher levels of autism, and which is more socially acceptable and easier to control when the kids are children. And when they hit their tweens, that's when you're like, oh man,
yeah,
puberty's coming. how is this person going to operate in an adult's world
and dating, like,
dating.
Yeah, I think you remember the article.
Hormones,
about
being independent. People are going to notice more that they're autistic because they'll have a mustache. Mm-hmm. You know, and they'll be behaving, and like, this is when tweens, 12 is like when like a parent must be like, ah, God, what's going to happen? And I remember watching my brother go through that, and my parents go through that, and my brother starting to be really interested in women and how to mitigate that. I mean, we've had a lot of funny stories. First episode, I told a funny story about that of this podcast, and he had one girlfriend when he was like 16. So it's like, you know, half his life ago was his last girlfriend.
He remembers.
And it traumatized him a bit. Yeah. It hurt him a bit. And he's still recovering from that. And we're still trying to, I'm still trying to get him to get back into the fray, sort of, so to speak. He's a fully grown man physically with male needs and wants. And it can be frustrating for him dealing with those two things. One side of him is scared and doesn't want to go through it again. And the other hormonal side is like, yeah. You know, so it is difficult. It's really difficult. Independence is difficult. And what I like about your week in review is it shows that even being a fully formed, not fully formed, but
neurotypical
person, it's still really difficult.
It has its own challenges,
to be independent. Extremely difficult. And
let's run these interviews, and then we have a couple interviews, and I want to talk about afterwards. I think we can address this again, where it talks about some of the struggles that both these young men, struggle with, and then let's talk about what that means. I think, don't you think?
I think so.
I think we're ready. Let's play this. So first we have who do you play first? You want to play Josh first?
We could do Josh first, yeah.
Okay, let's do Josh first.
Josh Meyerowitz, a very funny comedian, is a regular at the Comedy Store Roast Battle. He is a young man with autism, and we interviewed him last episode and on episode 10. So he makes another appearance here. Here's Josh Meyerowitz. So we have two questions. The first one is, so you just moved out. You just moved out of your parents' house.
We should give you the background. This episode is about when you're starting to gain your independence as an adult. And so we're just curious on your take about moving out. What prompted it? What? How do you feel? What are the positives and negatives? Yeah.
So 3 years ago, my twin brother, Jonathan, who is not autistic at all, he's my polar opposite.
Right.
I'll tell you this. I have Asperger's, but he's a... No, he's a good person.
We'll edit that.
No, he's a very fine person, actually. And but 3 years ago, he was like, Joshua, don't you want to move out? And at first, I didn't think I had it in me yet, you know.
Right.
But he sort of started the
Can
fire.
Can I ask how old you are right now, Josh?
I am 31 years old.
Okay, good.
So he sort of fired me up.
He stirred the pot a bit. He got you thinking about it.
Exactly. Right. And then over the last year and a half, I've been trying to figure out how to move out. I finally am like, yeah, let's do this. My ultimate goal was to, in terms of moving, was move to West Hollywood. I don't drive. So, but if I move to West Hollywood, I can just walk everywhere.
Right. Now, what were you scared about? What were the things? Driving would have been one of them. Like, what took 3 years to get around to it? Like, what sort of...
Well, my own personal laziness got in the way, of course. I guess I could say I'm a bit of a slacker, not happy about it, but, you know, you when you feel that lethargic in life...
I love Josh's honesty about this. Yeah.
I take myself to task. I don't like being dishonest or, well, you not guys know me. I'm an open book. I can't lie.
So what's now that you've moved in? What's the big plus that you didn't anticipate, or that maybe you did anticipate that you're like, here's what's the best about being alone? Living on my own.
It took a day or two after moving, but I this is the least amount of stress I've felt in my life.
Wow.
Even though really? I have far, it's weird because I have far more responsibilities now. Mm-hmm. But it's not that I didn't have any responsibility living with my parents. I paid room and board. I readily did chores, not to toot my own horn. I might have been a bit of a slacker, but I wasn't someone who didn't hold up his end of the bargain.
Yeah, you were in a have not. You know, you helped.
Yes, absolutely. Anything I could do in my power. But yeah, my parents, I love them to death. Now that I've moved out, I still visit at least once a week and readily accept their phone calls. There's other parts of the family that are like, don't want to deal with them. Hell, I let them be Facebook friends and everything. I don't mind. I love my parents so much that, mm-hmm. and I'm an open book, so I don't care what they see. Granted, there's a post here or there that's like my mom, like, I shouldn't see this. You shouldn't post this online. It's awful. It's disgusting.
We all go through that.
Yeah.
But the best was, by the way, side story. The best was, I guess I posted myself only almost fully nude, and my mom thought I'm a nudist, but I wouldn't post all online. She saw something. Of course, she saw the picture and she's like. Everyone on my Facebook can see it. She didn't know that if you're on her feed,
yeah,
that doesn't mean her friends could see you. It just meant that you could see what was on my feed.
Were there any unexpected challenges with moving in that you didn't foresee? Moving out, I mean, living on your own?
Well, here's the thing. The place I ended up moving to is technically in Hollywood. It's in the hill. I got a very good deal thanks to my twin brother. Once again, he had a friend of his that was like, hey, I own this house. We'll let you rent a room in it. And lo and behold, especially for someone with disability like me, it's in the Hollywood Hills.
Right.
That's so great. So, congratulations, man.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate it. I hope it doesn't sound like I'm bragging or anything. It's just
No. We're happy for you.
We're happy for you. We're asking you. It's in the hills. So I mean, at least it's central. You have a disability van that'll come pick you up and drive you places,
Well, you can take Lyft, too, right? You take Lyft and Uber and stuff, right?
Yes. I try not to because, you know, it adds up. That's one thing. I'm even more frugal than before.
Like, my Jewishness. You're getting organized.
Oh, yeah. My Jewishness was like, but can you afford it?
Do you? How do you afford it? If you don't mind me asking, do you have a job?
No. I'm on disability. I don't get paid really at all for stand up, and I got a long way to go in order to get paid. But I can't do normal work because of my anxiety. Stand up I can do because it's the first time in my life. When I get up on that stage, it's the only place I don't get anxious, which is a blessing.
Let me ask you this, Josh. And I don't mean to press you, but we're friends, so I want to. So, like, you felt
it's
like
all good.
Before you weren't able to move out, your brother pushed you a little bit, and now you love it. Do you think work could be like that too, where you feel like you can't work?
Well, no,
that's a good question.
Hold on, just to clarify, I wasn't anxious about moving out. I was just unsure of it working out. Period. I wasn't.
Robert, do you
I'm anxious about everything, but this is a different anxiety.
But
this
do you think work might be something that you... Sorry to cut you off, buddy. Do you think work might be something you would enjoy if... Like right now that it seems like it's impossible, but if you actually... Do you think...
Well, here's the thing. It's not... The whole reason I know about being anxious about not being able to work is because I've done it once or twice before.
Okay.
Here's the thing. One of my ultimate goals in life, because I'm such an anxious individual, is to not be a liability to anyone.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And the one or two times that I've worked for people, it's not been a good experience. Because here's the thing: even if I'm good or bad at the job, the anxiety eventually builds to a point where I could have a very bad anxiety attack and be a problem, get fired, and just cause a I did something wrong. I couldn't take it anymore.
Sure.
You know, my anxiety builds to such a, like, this almost happened with me working for Roast Battle. It didn't happen at all, but I like to do a little extra work. I put it on myself a little too. But it's a little looser that it doesn't build too much. But okay. It has its moments. But the point is that the anxiety of me moving out is not the same kind of anxiety
right.
that I get
It's given you independence and pride and sort exactly. of alleviated some of that yeah. feeling of not yeah. being independent. And you know, I understand that. That makes a lot yes. of sense.
I'm merely trying to take myself out of the equation. I'm not because listen, my ultimate goal with stand up is to make a living at it, not even be famous, but or anything like that, or even a famous comedian, just good enough to make a consistent living with stand up and not be on disability. I can do stand up because I'm my own boss, basically.
Mm-hmm.
Like gigs, the hustle and gigs, I need to work on and get past anxiety and trust myself that nobody's going to be mad at me.
That's good that you have those goals. It's really commendable and good, and I'm sure you'll get there at some point. Kirk has one more question.
By the way, I wanted to ask. Outside of it, just quickly. Outside of it, what I'm saying being legitimate, I hope it doesn't sound like I'm just making excuses trying not to work.
No, that's why
my question was basically, the earlier question was like, I feel like, and we're just talking, man, I'm not judging you at all.
Oh, absolutely.
Like, before when you looked at your parents, it seemed like that wouldn't work. And I'm wondering, you know, you had a few bad experiences working, but that was in the past and people grow. And so as you get older, you know, you get more mature, you get more tools.
Right.
And well, I've done a lot of jobs where I feel very anxious and inadequate. Mm-hmm. And, I'm wondering if it's something. We're just talking again. I'm not judging. I'm not telling you what to do.
I hope I don't sound complaintive or upset. I'm not at all. I you know me. When I get to talking with people, I get very excited. I'm passionate about the things in my life. I'm trying to explain that the anxiety of me moving out is a completely it's a lesser. It wasn't even I was anxious about moving out. I just simply didn't know what to do, how to go about it. There's right. so many things that are involved. The anxiety of doing a normal job and having a boss is a completely far more awful thing for me.
Right, because when you move out, you're your own boss.
Yeah.
Yes. But it's not the same league.
We
understand. I get that, man.
It has nothing even to do with I'm my own boss moving out. It's more that when I am doing a job for someone and there's an expectation put on me,
right.
then there's more anxiety put on my shoulders, and this anxiety builds up, and I could end up exploding. It all goes back to middle school. When I was in middle school, right before I moved to California and back in New Jersey, I went to this middle school. Now, granted, this is a bit of a different situation. I went to this middle school for 3-4 years, and they were not very nice to me. This teacher is more so than
right living in the
special education, you'd think. Which was even weirder because they were good teachers.
So, like, these experiences still haunt you, huh? Like, you still think about these things in the past.
Well, yeah. I didn't know how to I certainly don't know how to let go in the first place, but they were so basically nasty to me, even in special ed,
yeah.
that it built up. And
my brother had the exact same experience, and he talks about it all the time.
Right, but this is how bad it got. 2-3 days before I was going to graduate and move away forever and not have to deal with them anymore. My parents didn't know. I was telling them all the time, and they just thought, oh, he's being a teenager. No, it was legitimate. And 2-3 days before, I just out of nowhere, my anxiety built to the point that I just said out loud, if I had a gun, I'd shoot you all. And I didn't mean it, nor was I ever. I'm not a violent person, so I wasn't. I didn't know how to say things out loud and let them know how I felt back then. And it's sort of, not that I threaten anyone if I worked a job, but it's the same kind of thing. It felt to such a horrible thing. Luckily, I didn't get expelled. They just let me graduate.
So that was interesting. Josh talked about, you know, how he was, you know, he's like a, it took him 3 years to get around to it, you know, and like what I like, what I see some similarities between my brother and him, even though they're both very different and you can both hear it in their voices, is it took him 3 years.
Yeah.
That's what we have to do with Peter. You have to plant the seed, let it percolate, work at him. His brother, I was like totally empathizing with his brother. Like I was like, I know that.
Well, I thought it was interesting. I was trying to plant a little seed and for work, because I know I'm a dad. Sometimes the dad in me comes through. But it's like, I was trying to say, you know, there's a correlation between how you felt about moving out. You were nervous and you don't have all the answers. And that might be how you feel about work. You
know,
you're nervous. You might have a meltdown. Well, if you have a meltdown, you have a meltdown. You apologize and then you move on.
You might be right, but also he knows himself better than you know.
I agree.
And
I agree.
And he said, like, said he tried both and they're different because...
I agree. But again, this is just the dad. I mean, we're just talking. But how you are at 25 and now he's 31, it might have a different experience. Or maybe when he's 35, I think you continue to grow. And so the fact that... And again, I know it's the dad. I mean, Josh is my friend. I'm not bossing him around. I'm not... I accept him exactly as he is. But for his own... You know, I want good things for him. And I think work brings its own rewards. And I don't just mean money. I think it gives you a sense of fulfillment.
And the independence that he gets and the sense of pride in his own place that he has, that he said, I love that he said he thought it was going to be hard and it
and he loves it.
He loves it. And yeah, I mean, I, it's so interesting to me that, you know, he is, you know, for all, intent and purposes, he's higher functioning than my brother.
Yeah.
But my brother's able to work and have his own place.
That's what I'm saying. I think he's selling himself short. I think he can work. It's just when he talks about the anxiety, like, listen, I've had some jobs that make me very anxious and I'm not minimizing how he feels, but I'm saying don't sell yourself short just yet. You tried it. It didn't work out. And again, I know I'm a dad, so the dad in me comes out sometimes, but just because you tried it one time and it didn't work out, that doesn't mean that it'll never work out.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe this isn't the year. Maybe it's 2020,
mm-hmm.
you know, and you're 35 and that's when you decide. But don't sell yourself short.
Man.
You never know what you can accomplish.
I thought 2020 was like 10 years away. And you're like, when you're 30, I'm like, oh, yeah.
It's 4 years away.
Oh, my God.
Right?
Yeah.
We always underestimate.
Yes.
What's the expression? You could always overestimate what you can accomplish in a year. And you always underestimate what you're going to accomplish in 5 years. Like 5 years is a long time, dude. You could, you know, maybe he, you know, he, the anxiety.
I like that. That's a real dad nugget right there. I like it. Yeah.
It's true though.
It is true.
It's true. Like 5 years, think about 5 years ago, what you were doing. And then in a year, you're always like, oh, I'll have a sitcom on NBC. But in 5 years, it's a lot of time, man. So anyway, I would encourage him to not give up. And I'll say that to him in person because I know he doesn't listen to the podcast.
Yeah, but should we play Peter?
Yeah, let's play Peter.
Okay. Hey, Peter. So we are here with my brother, Peter Kay. Peter, do you want to say hi to our audience members?
Hello.
So we're going to do the interview now. Are you ready, Peter? Is that okay?
Sure.
Okay. Well, the theme of today, the theme of our show, our episode today, is moving out of the house and becoming an adult. And did you find it, you moved out of mom and dad's house, how long ago now?
Well, it was back in August 2008, and I was 24 years old back then.
24 years old, and were you happy to move out?
Yes, and I got a little bit tired living at mom and dad's place.
What was tiring about it?
Well, it's just that I guess I tried hard not to live in the past, but sometimes I couldn't let it go when I first became all grown up. And I soon got much better letting go of all thoughts, like public school, high school, and a golden college school thoughts.
You mean like being teased and stuff like that, and it kept bothering you?
Yeah, yeah.
And then
when I got tired of being the same teachers for a long time.
And do you think moving out on your... on your own helped you get past that?
Yeah, I see. It can seems to once in a while, but some school thoughts come in my mind. But I guess these thoughts don't bug me as much as they used to when I used to live at home with mom, at mom and dad's place for a lot of years. And when mom used to tell me to go to places like to the community center place that I didn't want to go to.
Right. But let's talk about the house. Now, did you find it hard at all to move out on your own? Was it difficult sometimes?
No, it didn't seem difficult to live on my own at all.
No, you were ready for it right away?
Yes.
And did you... What happened like when stuff went wrong, like fire alarms went off or something like that? Was that difficult to understand at first?
Well, maybe when I first heard a fire alarm noise, I think it was just sounding for a test, but there was no fire. It probably just has to sound for a test in case if the building ever had a fire alarm fire in one of the other units.
And do you like taking care of the apartment and buying groceries and stuff like that? What's your favorite part about living in the apartment?
Well, I just like to have all of my great toys, but I collect them a lot more often and play with them. But I guess they can be okay to play with once in a while.
Mm-hmm. And
what's the biggest difference, if I could jump in, Peter, like that you're like, here's what I really like of the apartment versus my parents' house?
Well, it's just that I don't need to go to it being ruled around by mom and dad.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a good question, Kirk. Yeah, you know, I think everybody can relate to that.
Yeah,
it's nice to be a man and be an adult, because you reach a certain age and you need independence. You need to be able to make your own decisions.
You want your own space, yeah.
Yeah. You love living in that apartment. And you when mom and dad go on vacation, you have to go back to mom and dad's house and live there and take care of the dog. And you don't like that, right, Peter?
Well, I don't mind looking after Star. I probably missed my apartment a little bit, but not completely. But I can't go back till mom and dad get back first.
Yeah, that's right. But the moment they get back, Peter's got his bags packed and he's ready to go, even if they arrive home like late, which is, I think, is fine. I understand.
Okay, but Graham, when we discussed about being ruled around by parents, I guess that can be a hard thing to go through with. I mean, I guess that can be a hard thing to go through with once in a while, but I don't think it's hard to go through with all the time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, not all the time.
But I guess there's some people who have parents who really don't like their parents.
Yeah, that's too bad when that happens. Like, you have a friend like that, Brian, right, Peter?
I guess he never liked his dad. I think he just couldn't stand his dad, even though he just wanted to help him out. But Brian did nothing but took advantage of his own dad. So Mom told me that he had a more hard life than I had, and he also had a more difficult time being disabled than I had.
Yeah, you are lucky, Peter. Some people have a really hard time, and it makes them angry, and they're confused a lot.
Well, I don't want to see Brian anymore because he was too much of a wasteful person. Even when he was messing in his own apartment, he had things like cigarettes. What a jerk.
Peter has very good taste, and if someone's a bad influence, he cuts them out right away on his own. He doesn't need any coaching. Like you, one thing I like about you, Peter, is you know when people are bad for you, like your ex-girlfriend
Jesse.
Yeah, didn't she try?
What about her?
Didn't she try and date Brian?
What?
Didn't she try and ask out Brian or something like that? And you dumped her?
No, I think Jesse wanted to dump me for Brian.
Oh, I see. I'm sorry, my mistake. Anyway, you let her go, though, right, Pete?
Yes, I don't want to think about Jessie, and I don't want to see her because she was not much of a nice girl for me to be with, especially if teachers made sure he wouldn't kiss her dance at her high school dance events back at the old high school where we used to go to as high school students.
Sorry, so are you excited? So do you still want to do the dating app? Do you want me to help you with the dating app?
I guess you could help.
The dating website? I think it would be good for you, Peter.
Okay, but I don't want to date a girl who has a major disability, okay? I don't want to date a girl like Sarah who probably has parents who won't let her move out and stuff. And I don't want to date a girl like Sarah if she says things like, leave me alone or I don't want to talk to you.
I understand. Well, the good thing is, Peter, is you're, like we discussed earlier, you're an adult and you don't have to date people you don't want to date. And the dating websites are very good because you can choose the kind of disabled they are and find somebody that's a closer match to you.
Okay, but I'm not going to date a girl like Jesse or Sarah. No way.
I understand. You don't have to date anybody that you don't want to do. It's like living on your own in the apartment. You're your own boss. So if you don't want to date them, you don't have to.
But, Yes, yes, but in my apartment, I don't want to be rude to people if they do things in my place that are disrespectful, like touch my stuff that I don't want to see.
Well, if you live with a woman, Peter, they're going to touch your stuff.
They're going to.
That's what happens.
Boss you around a little bit.
They're going to boss you.
Kirk. Sometimes, even when you're not in the relationship, they try to boss you around a little bit.
Yep, yep. Yeah. Even when you're on a break,
what are you talking about?
Well,
just say that women sometimes have their. Like when you're in a relationship, sometimes they have their own opinions and they just, they sometimes you don't agree, but that's part of being independent and dating.
Wait, I can't hear some things you're saying. What's that you said?
I was just saying that sometimes when you're looking for someone to date, they can have a strong personality as well, and you don't have to date them. You can decide because you're independent, and so you can choose somebody who you think is a good fit for you.
Yeah.
So don't feel any pressure or like that it has to be like Sarah or Jesse. It can be somebody totally different.
Yeah, it can be a whole new experience, which is good.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Well, Peter, thank you very much. You've been very helpful. Thank you for this interview, okay? You want to say goodbye to the listeners?
What was that?
You want to say goodbye to our listeners?
Okay, goodbye.
It's good talking to you,
Peter. Good talking to you, Peter. Thanks.
Bye.
That was interesting.
That's
I love
your brother, man.
Yeah, he's the best, dude. So just like Josh, he was like easy peasy, moving out, no problem.
Yeah,
and he's less functioning than Josh. You know, Peter just figured it out, and it's a sense of pride.
Yeah,
it's just a human sense of pride of not being dependent on somebody and not having what Peter says boss you around.
Did he say rule you?
Yeah, rule you. Yeah, he said rule you. Yeah, I get it. I get it. That's a human need. And he just
was 30.
Yeah. Well, I mean, he moved out when he was 24.
Yeah,
that's like a regular age to move out. That's early for an Italian.
Sometimes. Yeah. That's funny.
But he. Yeah, we're not Italian, but like if he was Italian, they'd be like, why are you leaving? You got 10 years left.
Early for Latinos,
yeah,
too.
Latinos. They like to stick around.
Yep. I like that part about Latin culture, but anyway, I'm like, what's the hurry? If you're having fun,
grandma's there too, you know, the whole family.
I get it.
I
did like that he, when you bring up the dating, he comes down hard on that. I don't want to date a girl like my last girlfriend.
Yeah.
And I didn't have the heart to tell him, listen, we all feel like that.
Yeah, we
about our last girlfriend. Everybody thinks about their last girlfriend. Yeah. It's like, I don't want to date a girl like
that trap again. Yeah.
That's why you're not dating her anymore, because you didn't want to.
Yeah. And it's up to people like me, who loved ones, to tell him that that's normal. Because he doesn't know that that's normal. He doesn't know that being bit by the snake is normal. And then he's like, well, I don't want to date another woman like that. And what if they're like this? What if they're just like my ex-girlfriend? I'm like, well, buddy, you move on.
Yeah.
I've been through that. You move on. You're an adult. That's part. And you always harp on that you're an adult. And he loves being an adult.
He likes to hear that part, yeah.
So if you go, this is what an adult does. They date people. And if they don't like them, they say it's not a right fit. He's like, oh, yeah, all right. You can just sort of... You're dropping the seed, letting it percolate, you know, get him thinking about it. So right now he's probably at home thinking about it, being like, maybe, you know, and then 4 days later he comes out and he's like, yeah.
With his own idea, the exact same thing.
Yeah, exactly.
So it's like having a wife. I get it.
Yeah.
Jokes, people, just jokes.
Another dad nugget, too.
I was married 18 years. Yeah. I have these jokes inside of me. I'm sorry. I really liked, too, when he goes... I thought it was very interesting. You know, they both had the same experience with the bad memories from school. Mm-hmm. And it was interesting that your brother, if I understood correctly, is basically saying the house reminds him of the school memories. And so getting into a different housing, he doesn't think about his old school memories.
I did not piece that together. I think you're right.
I think that's what he's saying. Like, he gets bullied at school or whatever, comes home and looks at this room. And now he's like, now he's associating that room with that bad experience of school. And I was like, I don't want to look at that room anymore.
Yeah, like his apartment is a fresh start.
Right.
It's a whole new.
Has nothing to do with the other stuff.
You're cutting off the bad memories.
Don't you think that's what he's getting at?
I think maybe a little bit, yeah.
I think Josh did something similar.
Yeah.
Because he said like, how did he say it? Oh, you can replay it. But yeah, he's basically saying the anxiety he felt around it. And now it's different.
It's interesting that we interviewed them pretty much back to back, and they had like these. We didn't prompt them.
They don't know each other.
Same thing.
Yeah,
pretty much.
Yeah, and they don't know each other. They've never met. They've never, yeah.
All right, everybody. I think that was a good episode.
I think it was very interesting.
I like that episode. Man, we're getting good at this, bro.
This is these are coming together. Thank you so much for listening, guys. We really appreciate your support.
Yes, we do.
A lot. We've got some new reviews. We've got a lot of nice notes on Facebook.
You can go to Patreon, www.patreon.com/autastic. And that will enable you to donate to us, which we really appreciate. We're two professional comedians, and it takes a lot of time for us to do this. We want to keep doing it.
A couple of really nice notes I want to get on. We got a note from Jennifer W., who talks about, she gave us a suggestion of transition to adulthood. Guinevere M. Wanted more information about the article, so we posted it of the experimental treatment.
Yeah, go to our Facebook page, yep. Facebook.com/autastic, and then we post a lot of pictures of Peter and guests and articles. And
Kelly D. sent us a nice note. Jacob W. sent us a nice note. Lauren K. sent us a nice note.
You can see it if you go to the Facebook.
It's all on the Facebook.
Doing a lot of dad stuff today. Yeah, that's how it works. You're just, naming names, reading off.
I've had a long week.
It's all there visible for you. That's how Facebook works. Just like Joshua Meyer, with his parents don't understand Facebook. Neither
I'm dating myself.
Anyway.
Look, you know there's upwards of 200 people on Facebook every day. This thing is going to take off.
One day.
It's going to take off.
I mean, now you're just a time traveler.
200 people a day are on it.
Anyway, yes, please go to Patreon and donate. Also, if you can, please go to iTunes and give us a good rating and tell your friends if you haven't already. That really helps us. Share it on your Facebook page. Email the link to people who you know this might help. We get a lot of notes every day about how it helps, and we really appreciate those notes. It helps keep us going, guys. Thank you very, very much. I'm at Graham K. Comedy on Twitter. And Kirk?
Kirk Smith Comedy, guys. Thank you so much. We love you guys.
Yeah, and shoot us an email if you're not a Facebook person. AutasticPodcast@gmail.com.
That's it.
Have
a great week, guys.
Thanks, guys. Bye.